How damaging is fake art to Indigenous artistic practices?
I think that's a really good question. Well, looking at fake art really is a disadvantage to traditional grassroots artists sharing their stories. It's when you look at these stories, it's our DNA. It's our cultural knowledge. The works by Aboriginal artists, particularly throughout the Western and Central Deserts, are being exploited. This undermines our culture and who we are, and particularly the role that we share in terms of sharing our knowledge to people around the world. So I would say this is a really major issue within the commercial art design. And we must remember that these artworks are the oldest living, are from the oldest living culture on Earth. Why hasn't there been a big uproar to what we've seen with the Aboriginal flag when it comes to Indigenous cultural intellectual property? This should have been at the forefront many, many years ago.
Can you outline the importance of artistic expression in Indigenous storytelling and cultural practice?
I think it's important to understand that Aboriginal art and practices is a way of life for many Aboriginal people, particularly sharing their connections to country through their jukapa, which is their dreamings. These are stories that are handed down from generation to generation of how they and their families belong to country. Now, when we look at something, it's culturally inappropriate for someone else to come along and copy sacred stories that belong to grassroots artists or copy certain designs for their own benefit and monetary gain. One thing that is important to point out is fake art doesn't just come from overseas. And I think this is a really big conversation that we need to have. We see other Aboriginal artists across the country who have adopted designs, symbols, and iconographies from the Western and Central Deserts into their own contemporary art. This is also a very big problem that we face in our own communities. We look at things like it implies that all First Nations people across the country share the same stories and culture through the designs, symbols, and iconographies. It takes money away from the communities of where those designs are traditionally belonging to, the cultural customs of those community members. And I think we need to be honest and say it's actually deceiving as well. Now, whether we look at fake art from overseas or in our own backyard, that's what we need to discuss. And I think we need to have those hard conversations to really get to the bottom of this issue.
Why do you think that the current artistic protection of Indigenous artists is inadequate?
That again is a really good question too. Sadly, there is no cultural safety when it comes to protecting Aboriginal art and more particularly protecting Indigenous cultural intellectual property. You know, I've seen, and you know, I'd say many, many others have seen Aboriginal inspired designs and homeware shops on products that are done by overseas artists who have copied traditional and often sacred stories while on their visit to Outback Australia. And for so long, they've been able to get away with it because companies aren't, and it's unfortunate that they aren't aware of cultural misappropriation when it comes to Aboriginal art designs. And I think now is the time for these big companies to step up and really get an understanding of Indigenous cultural intellectual property and fake art. What does that mean to how does that harm the oldest living culture on Earth? And I want to point out too, so with the recent joint venture with the Jackie Winter Group, we have created a First Nations-led agency that will address these issues and also help educate companies looking to engage with Aboriginal artists in the creative space.
What can be done to improve the protection of Indigenous artistic expression?
So in the work that I do, I always see this as educating people about cultural appropriation. And I try to encourage artists to learn their own traditional practices rather than using other mobs' designs as well. That includes the stories that they tell within their own artworks, you know. I know that this will take time because we got to understand that many people were misplaced from their culture. You know, when we look at things like the Stolen Generation, we need to support them and help steer them in a direction that they can learn more about who they are and also their connection through art. And I always say that we as Aboriginal people are so diverse, we must learn to appreciate the many different styles of art that exist from one Aboriginal mob to another, for example. You know, let's appreciate that and share with the world and say, this is who we are. Our stories, we may be one mob when it comes to Aboriginal people, but we have many different stories.
How can the listeners at home support authentic Indigenous artistic practices?
I think there are a few things that people can do. Ask questions and do your research. So as an artist myself, I encourage people to ask me questions about who I am, what inspires me to paint, which is my jukapa, taught to me by my family, and, you know, it's where I come from. You know, like I said earlier on, it's part of our DNA. It's kind of like a family tree. Usually people can find, you know, that information in my bio, but oftentimes it's not easily accessible. So it's always great to have those conversations with the artist to gain a better understanding. And also think, if people are still unsure about that, then do your research about where and who you can purchase authentic art from. And there are some great, great companies, businesses, Aboriginal owned art centres, more particularly, that are in remote areas of the country. A lot of their products are available online to purchase if you can't find, you know, if you can't visit these bush towns, which is, you know, oftentimes in the middle of nowhere. You know, they're hundreds and hundreds of Ks, you know, from the main centre. So I think, you know, do your research and ask questions.